Hey guys, welcome back. We are so glad you're here today because we're going to be talking about two kind of controversial topics, toe walking and W sitting. If you have a sensory kiddo, you have likely heard of at least one of these things, and if not, that's okay.
We wanted to talk about these issues because as therapists, we see them on a daily basis with the kids we work with. And both toe walking and W sitting can potentially be signs of dysfunction in the sensory system. Mm-hmm. We do need to be really honest though. A lot of the info we're going to give you today is going to be our opinions based on our experiences.
Yes. Keep that in mind and take it all with a grain of salt. But our hope is that you guys will have more knowledge and just more understanding in your toolbox after listening today. So let's do this.
Welcome to the Sensory Project Show with Rachel and Jessica. We're here to share all things sensory, occupational therapy, parenting, self-care, and overall health and wellness from a therapist's perspective. Providing raw, honest, fun ideas and strategies for parents and families to implement into daily life. Thank you so much for joining us.
Okay, so first let's talk about toe walking and what toe walking is. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel
pretty
like it's
self-explanatory.
Walking on your toes. Mm-hmm. And so toe walking is pretty common in children who are learning how to walk.
Yes. They go through phases where they are exploring their bodies and learning how different things feel.
Yes. But after the age of two, most children outgrow this toe walking and begin to walk with a normal heel to toe pattern. But then you do have kids who are going to keep toe walking. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty controversial. There's not a lot of research out there.
Unfortunately.
About toe walking. But, you know, there are people out there who say, yes, it's a sign of different things. And then there's people out there who say, no, it's not a sign of anything specific. Yes. So I think this one's a tricky one because there's a lot of information out there that's all different.
Yeah.
But.
And as OTs, we see toe walking with a variety of different diagnoses and symptoms, and we'll talk about those a little bit. Autism is a big one. We see a lot of toe walking with autism. It's one of those red flags. It can be a red flag.
Yes.
It can be a sign of sensory processing disorder. You could see it with, you know, some nutrition issues, maybe if their gut isn't processing everything as it should, or if they're holding their bowel movements, they can be up on their toes trying to hold everything clenched tight. For lack of a better description.
Yeah, totally.
That's kind of some of the things that we've seen often. It can be related to visual issues. There's a lot that goes into it, more so than just autism, which is one that we hear a lot of, that your kid toe walks, they have autism. You know, it's not always that way.
Totally. Yeah. It's not a diagnosis. Mm-hmm. Okay, so
it would be nice if it was
cut and dry.
Yeah,
if exactly. It was cut and dry, it'd be a lot easier for sure.
But these darn kids, they're all so different.
I know. So there was an article that Rachel found that was based on a research study that found that there's no real evidence to show the underlying causes of toe walking. So, like, why do kids toe walk? We don't really know. It's different for all kids. There's no real reason that we've been able to find.
Yeah.
But they did show that children with toe walking, who toe walk, will have differences in sensory processing, particularly in the area of vestibular processing.
Yes, definitely. So,
and that's going to be things that are also related to your vision and your core strength.
Definitely, yeah. So there's just a lot that goes into it. And it's just important to have an open mind and to identify if your child is toe walking. What does that mean for your child? What are the causes for them, you know?
And looking at it from like a muscle and tendon, basically anatomy standpoint, it can potentially cause problems in the heel and calf area, because if your child's constantly toe walking, those muscles and tendons are going to shorten, and it can definitely have that potential to cause serious problems later in life.
The longer they toe walk, the tighter their muscles and tendons are going to be, and the less likely they are to go back down on their heels.
So basically, if your child is, you know, beyond the age of 2 years old and you're watching them and they're toe walking all the time, they're running on their toes and their heels aren't coming down for that heel to toe pattern, then that's when you want to be concerned. Mm-hmm. And then that's where you want to see what you can do to help.
Mm-hmm.
The earlier, the better.
The earlier, the better. Yep. All right. So here are our favorite strategies, and these are not all of them are research-based. We want to throw that out there.
Yeah, these are
the
our
ones
opinions
that we've come up with and we've seen be the most helpful. So,
yeah, I think number one is awareness, right? If your child is aware enough, you can talk to them about it and talk to them about why it's important for them to walk on their feet, their whole foot.
Yep.
And then just helping them to just be more aware of it, I think, is huge.
Definitely.
If they're able to.
And just explaining the reason behind. Kids want to know why.
Yes.
They can't do something or you're telling them, don't do that. They want to know. They're curious. So tell them.
Yeah,
be honest
helpful
with them.
Totally.
So one of our favorites includes ankle weights. So just some half-pound ankle weights, lighter for younger kids. I don't typically like to go heavier than half a pound each, but it's so crazy to watch kids just immediately look down at their feet when we put ankle weights on.
It's like, oh, there they are.
Yeah.
I feel them all of a sudden.
It is so interesting to just watch them figure out how their body feels and recognize where their body is in space. It's the coolest thing to see.
And I think it's important to note, too, that if you're going to use ankle weights with your child, to not do it for a long period of time.
Yes.
Because they are going to have that sudden awareness when you put them on. But if you leave them on for too long, it's going to desensitize them to that feeling. So
it's just like weighted vests.
It is. So, you know, have like a wear schedule for the ankle weights if
absolutely
you need to for 10 minutes and then take them off for a couple hours.
Definitely. So. And maybe if there's a specific activity or a specific time of the day that you notice them toe walking more.
Oh, there you go.
Throw them on during that time.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the next one, walking up ramps, up wedges, walking up slides.
Up and down.
Yeah.
Just to get that full range of motion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that will help kind of stretch out those muscles and really just pull everything where it needs to be.
Change that. Yeah, it does. It changes it.
Mm-hmm. And they don't really think that they're working on stuff when they're walking up and down.
Especially when you're on the slide, you're at the playground and you're able to go up and down that slide. It's just playtime for the kid.
Definitely.
So it's perfect. Okay, vibration.
Oh, one of my favorites.
Like vibration for everything.
Yep.
So providing vibration to the feet and the toes and the ankles and the calves, full body vibration.
Yep.
But definitely vibration to those areas of the body, those muscles in the calf, ankle, and feet.
And with ankle weights, just moderation. Don't overdo it.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit goes a long way.
Yep. And you can also do the vibrating ankle bands.
Yes.
Right? So then they can wear those for like 10 minutes or something. Mm-hmm. They are pretty intense. Like I've put them on and it's a pretty intense vibration when you have that constant vibration in that one spot around your ankle. So let your kiddo decide how long they want to wear it.
Absolutely.
Would be good.
Massage and stretching. So doing some manual stretching to the heels and ankles. Just
I think that's huge. The stretching is so important.
Yes.
And it can be part of the daily routine, maybe in the evening as part of the bedtime routine.
Yeah.
Or bath time.
Angela from the Bly Millers. Mm-hmm. I say from the Bly Millers. It sounds kind of funny like that. But the people who we interviewed, Angela was saying that she started rubbing Theo's feet before he goes to bed, and it makes a big difference.
Massage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does he toe walk?
He doesn't toe walk very much, no.
No.
Mm-mm.
Okay. So, yeah, that'd be a good one.
Yeah. Another one, we talked about primitive reflex integration, and sometimes primitive reflexes can actually cause toe walking.
Or have an impact on
them.
They
can have an impact, yeah. Absolutely. So this one is called the Babinski reflex.
And I don't think we talked about the Babinski in our episode because it's not a big one, mm-hmm. like some of those other ones that are like full body primitive reflex. This mm-hmm. one's a little bit smaller, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
I don't know enough about the Babinski to really talk a lot about it.
Well, it's just the finger along the toe, mm-hmm. and you're looking for the tickle, basically. And
my feet are so ticklish, but that doesn't mean I have a Babinski. You know what's
interesting? When I was a kid, my dad would like run his finger up my foot trying to tickle me, and I was never ticklish, and they told me that something was wrong with me. Like, oh, you don't have any reflexes, and then now I know this, that I'm the one who's integrated.
Your Babinski's integrated and mine's not because my feet are so ticklish. Oh, that's rough.
I just think that's funny.
But I'm not a toe walker.
You're not?
No.
And if your Babinski reflex isn't integrated, that doesn't mean that you're going to be a toe walker. It doesn't mean that.
That's true. It could have an impact.
It can have a correlation between them.
Yes. Okay, so the prism lenses.
Oh, this is so interesting. This one's tricky. So prism lenses, oftentimes kids who are toe walking, their vision is very high and it's very up. I don't know. I can't think of the proper term.
Yeah, they're always constantly looking up instead of like down at their environment.
Yes. And so what prism lenses have done is you put them on and it's like an angled lens and it brings their vision back to reality, basically. And I personally have not used prism lenses with any of my kiddos, but I have done some research through it and I found that it brings a lot of those kids back down to their feet instead of being up on their toes once you put those prism lenses on. So that's something that you can talk to a vision therapist about and look into something like that.
Yeah, that one's definitely an interesting one.
Yes, I want to try some on. See what they
that would be so feel fun. Like. That'd be so fun. Try to like walk around with it.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a good one. Bells and squeakers or some sort of noise device, I guess, on the bottom of the kiddo's foot is a good one. Because then if they're able to get their heel down, it'll make that noise and it'll bring that awareness, and then it can turn into a game of, okay, so if you're going to wear these, you have to make sure that they make noise. You have to walk on your whole foot.
Yep. And with bells, they have little Velcro strips that you can put around their ankles. So again, just bringing their awareness to their feet.
And you know, I think that the noisemaker ones, the squeakers that you can put on the bottom of the feet, are perfect for kids who just have really poor awareness.
Yep.
Who are nonverbal maybe and who just have no idea what's going on. And so you put that down there on their foot and then you have to manually physically help them to put their foot all the way down and they hear that noise and then they're just, oh my gosh, it's like a new thing for them. It's amazing.
So cool. I love it. I love all the different strategies and ways to work on this stuff.
Yeah,
so fun.
I like it too.
So just talk with your child's OT and PT.
Potentially your PT. Yeah. Okay, so let's jump into W sitting. This one's a little bit more intense than the toe walking was.
Yeah.
W sitting. Do you know what W sitting is?
Oof.
You might have your child might do it.
And you might not realize it. If you don't, here you go.
Okay.
So if you're looking down on your kiddo from above and they're sitting, you'll see their legs literally look like a W. Their bum will be flat on the floor and their legs will be out to the side.
And I think it's important to note that when they're in this position, it's almost like a kneeling position, but yeah, their legs have kind of splayed out so that they're on their bum instead of sitting on their legs. Mm-hmm. And their feet are going to point outward.
Yes.
And from what I've seen and heard, it's not as big of an issue. I say issue. It's not as bad if their feet are tucked under their bum or
if
under their legs.
Sitting on their knees.
No, still with like their legs out, but their feet are pointed inward instead of outward. It's a little bit different, if that makes any sense. That makes any sense. So in a in a true W sit, their feet are gonna also point out.
So the inside of their feet will be touching the ground.
Yes.
Their medial malleolus will be on the ground.
Great. Fabulous. Okay, so why do children W-sit? And there is more information and more research out there about W-sitting than there is toe walking. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're about to throw at you.
Yes. So when a kid W-sits, they're trying to create a larger base of support and a lower center of gravity. So when they're sitting like that, they aren't engaging muscles of their core and trunk. And they don't, it doesn't really give them opportunities to cross midline.
Yes, but that's not why they're doing it.
True.
Yes, like that's an issue.
Subconsciously, yes, exactly.
So that they're not having
they're
to work as hard.
They're compensating for those deficits.
Yes.
So maybe if they don't cross midline, these are those kids who are going to be W-sitting.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And like she said, like Rachel said, it's going to require less work of their core muscles. And so these are the kiddos who have lower tone mm-hmm. in their core and also more flexibility in their joints. And not in a good way, right? Yeah. When you say someone's flexible, yes. like usually it's a good thing. But in this case, it's
very hypermobile.
Yes, mm-hmm. it's not good because those tendons and muscles around that joint aren't actually strong enough.
Mm-hmm. So. And they're not going to get strong if they continue to sit in that position.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I can just picture all the kids W sitting. It makes me crazy.
And then, of course, once these kids start doing it, it becomes a habit and their muscles mm-hmm. get accustomed to it and they just do it all the time.
Yeah, and they don't want to change because it's hard to sit crisscross applesauce.
So hard.
Or side sitting or long sitting. I do not like to long sit. Long sit is where you sit on your bum and your legs are straight out in front
yes.
of you.
That one's a hard one and it's flexibility. Again, flexibility in your hips.
And hamstrings.
Especially as adults.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
For adults, it's harder because the issue for adults is that we're sitting in chairs all the time.
Yeah.
And so our hip muscles and joints just get so accustomed to that pattern that when we try to change it.
Mm-hmm. I thought that my hip flexibility would get better working with kids and being on the floor all the time.
Mm.
It's not.
Do you know what I found sitting on the floor all the time?
What?
Is that I side sit.
Uh-huh.
Always. Like, I'm more comfortable side-sitting to one direction than the other.
Oh, yeah, me too.
And off the top of my head, I can't think of which direction I side-sit. But every time I do it, I'm always like, oh, and I should switch and go the other side
yeah.
to just switch up my muscles and my joints. Or I just need to sit crisscross.
Yeah, crisscross is hard.
So, anyways, off topic. Let's get back. So, and it's okay if your child moves briefly in and out of W-sitting while they're playing on the floor.
Yes.
But what you want to watch for is when it's the only position that your child will sit in when they're on the floor.
Yeah, and especially that transitioning piece, it's really evident around like 8, 7, 8, 9 months when they're learning to stand and they're learning to crawl and change
and
positions.
Kneel.
Yeah.
You're going to see a lot of that W position, and mm-hmm. that's okay as long as they're not staying there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think that's good to note, too, mm-hmm. for those really young kids, those infants learning mm-hmm. to move around because they will go into that W position.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you might have a kiddo who sits W sits for a second, but then they move out of it into a different position. That's fine. It's when it's the only way they like to sit.
Yes.
Okay, so if your child W sits and it's the only way that they sit on the floor, then there's definitely things you can do. Mm-hmm. Because there are those negative reactions or negative consequences, I guess, if your child only W sits.
Yes. Adverse reactions.
Yeah.
Well, not really an adverse reaction.
I know. I don't feel like it's a reaction. I mean, I guess kind of, because I don't know. But I mean, there are definite negative side effects. There
side
it is.
Side effect. That's the one. We got it, guys.
Word finding issues. Words are hard, you guys.
They are.
Oh, my gosh. So, yes, there's definitely negative side effects that can occur with constant W sitting.
All right. So, the first one, you're going to see some pigeon-toed walking. So, that's when your toes point towards each other. And you might have a little bit of like a bow-legged posture in your legs. So like your knees kind of go out. So I mean, just imagine sitting in that position and yeah, your toes are going to go towards each other and you're going to have some weird posture going on.
Yeah, and it's...
It's funky.
It's funky. Okay, it's not funny. Sorry.
I said funky.
I know, but it's funny. I started laughing, and I just feel like it's not a funny issue.
It's not. I know.
You just have to laugh, though.
Yes.
Okay. You could potentially have altered development of the hip joints because it's just not a normal sitting pattern that is good for your body. So
I'm trying to think of something to compare it to, but I can't think of anything. Like another way of sitting that's bad for you.
I don't think there is another way of sitting that's bad except for just like sitting in a chair constantly. Like you want to be able to move around and move your joints, right?
Yeah, so kind of like sitting in your chair with poor posture.
Slumped.
Yeah.
Slouched back.
A slouched back, yeah. So we know it's not good to sit like that because it's gonna cause a lot of issues. I mean, your
back problems.
Back and neck issues and things like that, but it's hard to correct it.
Yeah, so it is because it takes
as
work.
As an adult, think about that when you're working through this with your kid.
Yeah.
Okay. You're definitely going to have weaker core and trunk muscles overall.
And that's the whole reason why kiddos W sit. And so, of course, when they're W sitting, they're not working those muscles.
No. And those muscles are really important, you guys.
And... you know, when your kiddo is in this W-sit position, Rachel mentioned this already, but it reduces their ability to cross midline because their body is kind of stuck, right? Like if you were to just get on the floor and try W-sitting and have a bunch of like items around you and you try to like reach and rotate your trunk to turn, and I'm doing it right now, and turn to grab those items, it's going to be so, so hard. So it really reduces your child's ability to move freely while they're sitting on the floor to play with toys.
Yeah.
Whereas when they're sitting in a side sit or crisscross applesauce or ring sit is another one, but that's more, I mean.
What'd you call it?
Ring sit.
Ring sit?
Ring sit. So this is more of like an infant position where they're not stable enough to do crisscross applesauce. So instead they sit with their legs are in front of them, almost in that crisscross position, but their feet are like touching each other instead of crossed over.
I've never heard it called ring sit.
Ring sit.
I've never heard that term.
What did you call it?
I don't know. Sitting? But I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. I just haven't heard that term. So, I learned something new today,
there
guys.
You go. Every day. So, yeah. So, those positions are really going to give them a lot of mobility to cross midline, rotate their trunk, move their head and their eyes, reach forward, reach backwards, turn. But that W-sitting position really prevents all of that movement for play. I think that's one of the biggest things. I mean, obviously the physical pieces and strength pieces are important, but just your child's ability to play.
And remember, play is a child's occupation. So we don't want to get in the way of that.
No. Okay, so here we go. Here's all the good stuff for you guys is what to do about it.
There's a lot.
Okay, yeah, this is a good one. So encourage other sitting positions, of course. Mm-hmm. Of course.
And when you're encouraging them, let's talk about this for a minute. There's things that you do and you don't want to do. And you don't want to say, hey, Timmy, don't sit like that. Timmy,
ooh,
stop.
Ooh.
Timmy, it's not good to sit like
that. Yep. The minute you tell your child not to do something, guess what they're going to do? They're going to do it.
Mm-hmm. So if you can approach it as a learning opportunity, a challenge, a game, positive reinforcement, mm-hmm. you're going to see a lot more success.
So, for example, if you're sitting on the floor playing with your child and you're sitting crisscross and they're W-sitting, say, hey, look how I'm sitting. I'm sitting crisscross applesauce. Can you sit like this with me?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Or maybe saying something like, hey, Timmy.
I just like that you say Timmy every time.
Hey,
it's
Timmy.
It's always Timmy.
Did you know that sitting like that is called W-sitting? And it's really, really bad for your body, and it hurts your joints and it hurts your legs, and I don't want you to get hurt, and I'm sure you don't want to be hurt either. So let's try to see what other ways we can come up with to sit.
I like that, how you ended it with, hey, how else can we do that? Yeah, that's good.
So it's a little bit more work on your end.
Sure.
But it'll be worth it.
It's always teaching them why. Why do you want me to do this?
Yeah.
The more knowledgeable they are, the more reasons.
Yeah. So we've talked a little bit about the more appropriate ways to sit, sitting crisscross, applesauce, long sitting, side sitting, sitting on your knees, tall kneel. So if you lift their toys up so they have to sit on their knees in a tall kneel, those types of things are good alternatives.
And I mean, I definitely think it's important to play on the floor for mm-hmm. these kids. And even older kids, like elementary school age kids, like they get their box of Legos out, and instead of doing their Legos on the table where they're sitting in a chair, they put the box on the floor and they play with their Legos on the floor.
Yep.
So then they're either laying on their stomach or they're sitting up mm-hmm. in crisscross or side sitting, and they're going to be very grounded. Because yes. they're sitting on the floor getting that probe through their joints, and they're going to be able to move and just play in different ways than sitting at the table.
Since we're talking about Legos, I was just visualizing another type of sitting option that is not a good alternative.
Uh-oh.
Yes. So they'll be sitting on one knee. I have to show you. They'll
okay.
be sitting on one knee, so this won't be on their knee, and they'll have one knee up bent, like towards their chest.
Oh, yes.
And they'll rest their chin.
Oh,
on
yes.
their knee.
And their trunk.
And their trunk, yeah. They'll just be yep. leaning, holding their head up with their knee, basically, rather than activating those muscles.
And so it's almost like a half kneel type position, right? Where,
very...
One leg is up.
What's the...
Stabilizing their body.
What's the word? A cannonball. Kind of like a half cannonball.
A half cannonball, yeah. Mm-hmm. So their body and their head is resting on that supporting leg yes. instead of being up and engaged. Mm-hmm. Those core, yeah. It's really those core muscles and those neck muscles. Good. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah,
Thank
I see
you.
That one a lot.
Yeah, I do too. Okay, so some different other things that you can do and games and that kind of stuff. So, you know, for younger kids, when you have their toys out on the floor, just having their toys instead of all in one place, like in front of them, but spread out mm-hmm. in all different places. So they're constantly changing their position and sitting in different ways and moving in different ways.
Yeah. Bottom walking races.
Okay.
This is kind of a fun one.
I just like the name, bottom walking.
You're scooching races. You're sitting on your bums and you are racing across the floor to maybe put a coin in a coin bank or grab your paper airplane that
whatever
you
want.
Yeah. You're scooching forward and strengthening and stretching.
Well, but you're not really scooching when you're talking about this one, right? Like you're not scooching your whole bum forward all at the same time, right? Like you're walking with your bum, right? Is that the one you're talking about?
You could do either.
Oh. I was thinking of walking with your bum, one cheek at a time.
You could do one cheek at a time. That's super beneficial.
That's a good one.
But even if your child can't do that, scooching on their bum,
okay.
just just because
with their legs out straight.
Yes. Yeah. Because yes. it's stretching their hamstrings and activating their core muscles.
Yes. A lot. Cool. I was a little confused, but yeah, both of them. Okay. So
seated marches on a therapy ball.
Okay.
So they're just sitting on a therapy ball with their feet on the ground. Make sure their therapy ball is the right size for them. And they're lifting their legs up, so it's like you're marching. So when you lift one leg up, your core is going to activate on the other side, and you're going to strengthen your hips. Just a fun way to engage some new muscles.
What if you do it in front of a wall, and you have, like, pictures on the wall, and you call out a picture, and they have to tap that picture with their leg?
That would be great.
Oh, my gosh.
Love that one.
I do, too.
Yeah. That's fun.
Okay, so then some other games that you can play with your child. So they're sitting on the floor, not in a W-sit, of course, and you're going to encourage your child to reach out for different objects at different distances. And these can be heavy items or lighter items. They're going to cross midline, and they're going to be at different heights. And this is all going to activate and strengthen those trunk muscles, and it's going to promote weight shifting through their lower body as well.
I think one of my favorite things to do is to stick a kiddo on a T-stool. And you know how when you work out, you do the medicine ball throwdowns?
Yes.
To basically lift a therapy ball, not a therapy ball, a medicine ball up over their head and slam it down onto the ground and then pick it up and slam it down.
Yeah. While they're on that T-stool.
Yeah.
That sounds so hard.
Think of all those muscles they're working and the balance. Oh, so many things.
So good. Okay, so how about just some simple stretches, like hamstring stretches?
Hamstring stretches, you know, split hamstrings. So you have one leg bent, the other leg straight. And, you know, just maybe just having your nightly conversations with your kiddo while you guys both are sitting on the floor stretching. Mm-hmm. And you just incorporate it into your evening routine or your bedtime routine.
Yoga. Yeah.
Yoga.
Stretching and yoga.
It'd be so fun. I need to do more yoga.
Yeah, yoga's a hard one to get into. Mm-hmm. But for kids, I feel like there's so many ways for kids to get into yoga, like the Cosmic Kids Yoga on YouTube and the Yogarilla cards, and they love it. Kids love it.
You do. You guys should be doing it, too.
Oh, my gosh.
You should.
Here's the deal. If your child W-sits constantly and you're really, really struggling to get them to change their sitting positions on the floor and they're having a hard time following direction for it and, you know, you're struggling, then maybe try using some sort of positive reward system.
Mm-hmm. Those are great. The other thing that I think it's important to mention, with some of our lower functioning kiddos, maybe they're nonverbal, maybe W-sitting isn't the number one priority that you're concerned with, that's okay. Totally. It's okay, yeah. If your kiddo W-sits, but they are attending to a non-preferred task,
they're doing a really good job. Don't touch them.
Yeah, it's like choose your battles.
Yes, if they're attending to something that they've never done before and they're successful with that, oh my gosh, celebrate that and work on the W-sitting later.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh, for sure.
So they're going to be successful whether they W-sit or not. Just remember that. But they might be more successful if they don't
W-sit. Sure. So, yeah. So, again, all of these things that we talked about, again, it's controversial. If you were to go search on the web for toe walking and W-sitting, you're going to find so much out there that's good, that's bad, that's neutral.
If you ask your pediatrician, they might say, no, it's not a big deal. You know, but other pediatricians might say, no. Your child should not be W-sitting.
Yeah.
Everyone has their own opinion. Everyone has their experience that they've seen with it.
So this is ours.
This is ours, yeah. Yep.
These are opinions from our experience. So we hope that you can, I don't know.
Carry over some of these strategies.
It was at a loss for words.
Yes,
so
we
hard.
Hope. I got you. Thanks. We hope that you can carry over some of these strategies at home and at school or at the clinic, wherever you're at. And they make a difference.
Yes,
definitely. That would be awesome.
So thank you guys for listening to us talk about this hard
topic. Leave us a review if you haven't. You guys are leaving wonderful reviews. They're amazing.
Okay, so next week, our episode number 25.
25, you guys.
That's 25 weeks of episodes that have been out next week. It's oh my gosh.
6 months, right?
It's a lot. I don't know what the math is, but it's a lot. So next week, we're going to talk about
executive functioning.
And we'll leave you there.
There it is.
Okay. Have a great... We should have just said it at the same time.
I know. Okay, ready, go. Okay.
Well, what are you going to say?
I don't know. Have a great...
Let's just do it and see what happens.
Okay. Now I'm nervous.
Okay, ready, go.
Okay.
Have a great week. Oh, we said the same thing.
Bye, guys.